RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, and news in brief. We will continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Listener's Mailbag. That's our program for today, listener. And now let's stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo to issue policy to boost teen price. Indonesian Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin asked KBK to guarantee prisoners worship freedom. Now, the news in detail. Indonesian President Joko Widodo plans to issue a policy to boost the price of tin, rubber, and palm oil that has so far dropped very steeply. Joko Widodo said after conducting a Tarawih prayers at Suprapto Suparno Mosque after breaking fast in Pangkal Pinang on Saturday evening, June 20th, he will see the real condition in the field to find what kind of policy is needed to make the price of the commodities to rise again. He said that not only the price of tin that had declined, but also rubber, palm oil, and others. The price of tin drops from 24 to 14, or almost by half, making people difficult to cover operational costs. In view of that, he said, had visited the province of Bangka Belitung, which is the country's tin-producing region, to see in person what the tin situation in the region is like. It is the drop of the price of the commodity that he would discuss so that the policy that the government would make later could boost the prices of various commodities. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin hoped the Corruption Eradication Commission KPK could ensure the freedom of KPK prisoners to carry out their worship in accordance with their religion. If there were complaints related to it, Lukman hoped KPK could resolve it. Minister of Religious Affairs also said in Jakarta on Saturday, June 20th, that each prisoner should remain guaranteed freedom to worship according to their religions. Perform the 5 daily prayers for Muslims is an obligation. When the prisoners were allowed to implement Zohar prayer, Ashar and Maghrib, it should likewise with Isha and Fajr prayers. Especially now in Ramadan, the special month for Muslims to increase his worship to get closer to Allah. Previously, it's informed that there were complaints on the attitude of the guard on Pomdam Jaya Guntur that restrict the prisoners in performing worship. Related to that, the former religious affairs minister made a complaint later, defamation of religion to the leadership of parliament. The House of Representatives DPR has welcomed government's plan to improve Indonesia's trading access by sea. John Erizal, Deputy Chairman of Commission 11 at the House of Representatives, said that President Joko Widodo's maritime programs must be supported. John also suggested the government to look into Malacca Strait potential site, to look into port development and its infrastructure in Malacca Strait. According to John, Indonesia has yet optimized the potential of the busiest ferriage area in the world. As a result, Malaysia took the opportunity to build a port for export and import activities in Johor with larger capacity than Tanjung Priok. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Environment and Forestry Siti Nurbaya hoped that the Eco Drive campaign could be improved. She considered this campaign has many positive effects both for society and for the environment. She said after inaugurating the Eco Drive Fund rally in the East Parking Senayan, Jakarta on Saturday, June 20th, the Eco Drive campaign event should not only be held once a year and hope that this event could be held at least twice a year. It's possible. A similar campaign will be held while welcoming the Independence Day on 17th of August, she added. She also hoped the coverage for future events could be expanded. Siti Nurbaya said Eco Drive must also campaign on the education facility as well as in several regions in Indonesia. According to Minister Siti Nurbaya, the Eco Drive campaign on this time with the theme fuel saving and low emissions. The target of the event was to increase savings in fuel consumption and operating costs. Not only that, the campaign also aims to raise awareness of safety in road traffic. In addition to paying taxes, the country's state-owned companies are expected to pay more dividends to the government in the coming years. According to the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry's plan, state-owned enterprises' contribution to state revenues will more than triple to 635 trillion rupiah or $47.7 billion in 2019 from only about 211 trillion rupiah last year. The skyrocketing revenue target from state enterprises is in line with the National Mid-Term Development Plan, in which state enterprises will become one of the major sources of the state revenue. State income coming from state enterprises commonly consists of dividends and tax payments. In 2015 state budget, state enterprises are set to pay a total of 37 trillion rupiah in dividends as part of the state's non-tax income. While the state enterprises' contribution to tax payments is not shown, the government sets tax income at around 1.49 quadrillion rupiah this year from all taxpayers, including state-owned enterprises. Other than setting a higher revenue target for state-run enterprises, the State-Owned Enterprises Ministry also aimed to have 19 state enterprises listed on the Forbes 2000 Best Companies in 2019. That was the news.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment, News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Madiun, East Java. People in Madiun, East Java held Megangan Thanksgiving ceremony by sharing food as a tradition to welcome the holy month of Ramadan. Megangan is done after Maghrib or dusk in each mosque or musola or small mosque in all areas in Madiun. According to Wandi, the head of RT 10 neighboring unit, Nambangan Kidul Sub-District, Mangunharjo District, Madiun City, besides reading the holy verses of Al-Quran, the people also share food. He revealed that Megangan ceremony is regularly done one day before Ramadan. It doesn't take a long time because they have to pray Tarawih or extra prayer service during Ramadan. Wandi feels grateful that Megangan tradition is still done in almost all areas in the city of Madiun. It is because the tradition often fades away as everything's getting modern. Besides Megangan, another preserved tradition ahead of Ramadan in Madiun is ziarah, or visiting the graves of ancestors by bringing flowers. The graves of the ancestors are also cleaned. Listener, from Madiun, we move to Surabaya, East Java. Surabaya Zoo now has a mobile application Surabaya Zoo, which contains information about animals, animals attraction schedule, digital zoo area map, interactive games, and various facilities in the zoo. According to Indosat Chief Information Officer Herfini Haryono, the application aims to deepen public understanding and appreciation of zoo's function, as well as support the preservation of Indonesian animals, particularly those managed in Surabaya Zoo. She said that this application has attractive features with easy, interactive, and enjoyable use both for local and international tourists because it has bilingual facility. He hoped that this application becomes an effort to raise auditable fund to help the conservation and digital education of zoo, as well as encourage the interest of people to visit Surabaya Zoo. Meanwhile, Acting Surabaya Zoo Head Director Asta Nita Bustani Tajudin showed her excitement and proud of Surabaya Zoo application, which allows people to help conserve Surabaya Zoo and allow digital education on Surabaya Zoo. Surabaya Zoo Apps is developed by Indonesian developer who has been awarded as Young Technopreneur named Sandy Kolondam. People can enjoy this application by using any operator that has smartphone based on Android operation system and downloading Surabaya Zoo application through Google Play Store for free. The last news comes from Solo, Central Java. Hundreds of people visited Tirto Moyo Manahan Swimming Pool in Banjarsari, Solo, Central Java, last Wednesday for Padusan tradition ahead of Ramadan. The visitors who flocked to three swimming pools in Tirto Moyo Manahan are mostly teenagers who clean up themselves before fasting in the month of Ramadan, 1436 Hijriah. Head of Tirto Moyo Swimming Pool Unit, Ratmoko, said the number of visitors in Tirto Moyo Manahan Swimming Pool in Padusan Tradition increased indeed. Since 1 p.m. West Indonesia time, the number had reached 800 people. Daily number of visitors is about 100 to 200 people per day. According to Ratmoko, the number of visitors in Tirto Moyo in Padusan 2014 was 1,000 people. Listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in history, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Welcome back to Today in History, a daily segment of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, which brings back people and events from this day in the past, as recorded in history. We start from June 21, 1961, an event of birthday of Indonesian President Joko Widodo. Joko Widodo, or familiarly called Jokowi, was born in Surakarta, Central Java, on June 21, 1961. After his election as governor of Jakarta, Jokowi's popularity skyrocketed thanks to a good track record and his popular approach and pragmatic, like the Blusukan or impromptu program, to examine the real situation on the society directly. Joko Widodo was the seventh president of Indonesia who took office since October 20, 2014. He was elected along with Vice President Yusuf Kalla in the 2014 presidential election. On June 21, 1970, the death of Sukarno, the Indonesian first president. Sukarno was Indonesia's first president who served during the period 1945 to 1966. He played a key role in liberating the people of Indonesia from the Dutch and Japanese. Soekarno was proclaimed the independence of Indonesia together with Muhammad Hatta on August 17, 1945. Soekarno was born in Surabaya on June 6, 1901 and died in Jakarta on June 21, 1970 at the age of 69 years. Listener, we conclude with another event on June 21, 1994, banning three medias in Indonesia. On June 21, 1994, Tempo magazine, Editor, and Detik were banned or their business licenses of publishing press revoked. This was due to the news related to the purchase of East German X-fighter planes. The news disturbed the military authorities because they felt their authority bypassed. The banning of the three medias sparked mass demonstrations. The magazines may rise again on the condition that the news should be known by the family of President Suharto. Editor-in-chief should be determined and they allowed to buy the shares of the medias. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia entitled President Halts Market Operation. I'm Rahmawati. Listener, the availability of staple food and staple food price continue to fluctuate since early 2015. Welcoming the fasting month of Ramadan and Eid al-Fitri festivity, or locally known as Lebaran, the Indonesian government keeps maintaining the availability of staple food to make people relieved amid decreasing purchasing power. One of ways to do it is conducting market operation to stabilize the price and the availability of goods. Last Monday, June 15, President Joko Widodo symbolically opened the national market operation at Cimahi State Logistics Agency, or Bulog, in West Java Province. The president instructed both central and regional state officials to conduct market operation to control the price in order to allow people to buy staple food with affordable price. He confirmed that the government would take firm action to anyone who play with price. President Joko Widodo also assured that the supply of nine main commodities during Ramadan and in Lebaran is in safe condition. In the meantime, Trade Minister Rahmat Gobel said the Ministry of Trade has taken policy and step to maintain the availability and stability of food price, especially in Ramadan and Lebaran. Besides, the government is open for import to guarantee availability of goods if needed. Meanwhile, Ministry of Agriculture bravely guarantees the availability of food in Ramadan and Lebaran is in enough and stable condition. Even so, distribution process still needs to be increased for equal food supply and price in all over Indonesia. Therefore, Minister of Agriculture Amran Sulaiman stated the ministry has coordinated with Ministry of Trade, Logistic Affairs Agency, and Ministry of Transportation to assure the equal food supply and control price stability. Head of West Java Industry and Trade Service, Ferry Sofwan Arif, said in Bandung, West Java, that West Java provincial government has prepared budget by 10 billion rupiah for cheap market operation in 27 regencies or cities during Ramadan. According to him, the amount of budget prepared for cheap market operation is the same as that of last year. The market operation covers nine main commodities, while according to local network media in Palembang, South Sumatra, Palembang City Administration, through industry, Trade and Cooperative Service has held chip market regularly 2 weeks before Ramadan after holding chip market in some districts in the city of Palembang. Authorities of Palembang City Administration said the chip market sold 9 main commodities with low price to ease the economic burden of people. Well, listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Here is the week in review featuring several events that happening during this week. Stay tuned. We start from Sunday, June 15, 2015. On Sunday in Jakarta, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has expressed hope that Indonesia will become a Sharia financial center in view of the country's huge potentials. At the launching of I Love Sharia Finance campaign, initiated by the Financial Service Authority, the president said if the huge potential is developed, it is not impossible the country will become the development center of Sharia finance. According to the president, Indonesia is a country with the world's biggest microfinance, the only country that issues a retail Sharia bond, and if it develops later, it could make the country become an international Sharia financial center. The key to achieving it is improving public knowledge sustainably. Still on Monday, Australia told Indonesia a better secure its borders in stinging rebuke after Jakarta demanded answers to allegations Canberra paid to turn back a boat of asylum seekers. Claims that the captain and 5 crew of a boat carrying migrants from Bangladesh, Myanmar and Sri Lanka were each paid $5,000 by an Australian immigration official to turn back to Indonesia were made to Indonesian police and on Rote Island in the country's east last week. Australian Prime Minister Tony Abbott has refused to deny the allegations, with the opposition Labour Party writing to the Auditor General requesting an urgent investigation. The Greens Party was also due to ask to Upper House Senate to demand the government table documents detailing any payments. Bishop suggested in an interview with Australian newspaper that Indonesia was to blame for failing to properly manage its borders. She added, this should include any breaches of passport and visa laws and establishing whether the captains and crews of these boats are part of people smuggling syndicates or are paid by them. Still on Monday, January 15th, Secretary Andi Wijayanto said the President Joko Widodo is yet to discuss the aspiration budget proposed by members of the House of Representatives DPR because, according to Andi, there has not been any concrete action made in relation to the issue. The House needs to deliver the proposal in a formal manner before the government can decide whether to include it in the upcoming state budget draft. Moreover, Finance Minister Bambang Brojonegoro is yet to confirm whether he will approve the aspiration budget proposal or not. Bambang said all proposals must have a clear mechanism, adding that aspiration fund had never existed in the past. On Tuesday, June 16th, the more narrow and limited tomb capacity in Kalibata Hero Cemetery in South Jakarta has urged the Jakarta City Administration to purchase another land in order to expand its area. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama, after his visit to Kalibata Hero Cemetery, said the cemetery soon will be filled. The Jakarta administration is going to purchase another site in Cilangkap, nearby Indonesian military headquarters. On Wednesday, June 17th, Indonesian President Joko Widodo has appreciated the effort made by Indonesians to build a hospital in Palestine. A member of the presidential communications team, Teten Masduki, said in a press statement received in Jakarta that the president appreciated the construction and inauguration of the hospital, which was an initiative of Mercy, According to Mas Duki, President Joko Widodo expressed his appreciation for the grand opening of Indonesian hospital in Gaza, Palestine. The construction of Indonesian hospital is a manifestation of Indonesian solidarity with Palestinians. In a meeting with a Mercy delegation at the State Palace, President Joko Widodo also emphasized the government's commitment to facilitate humanitarian aid to Palestinians through relevant ministries and institutions, as well as Indonesian representatives. On Thursday, June 18, 2015, Indonesian Foreign Affairs Minister Retno LP Marsudi became a speaker at the Oslo Forum, a leading and highly respected forum in Europe, because of its effort in addressing the various conflict issues and world peace. In her presentation, Minister Retno has submitted the topic of instability and its impact to foreign policy that focused on the Indonesian experiences in maintaining the stability in the region. Spokesperson of the Ministry of the Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at a press conference in Jakarta on Thursday, said some of the examples that mentioned by the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Retno LP Marsudi, about the stability in the region were the irregular movement of persons, Yemen conflict, and violent extremism. This year, the minister was asked to be one of the speakers. On that occasion, the minister presented the theme, Instability and its Impact to Foreign Policy. In the forum, she expressed the Indonesian experiences in its effort to maintain the peace and stability in an effort to contribute to improve the stability in the region. Some of the examples that she has been conveyed related to the Indonesia's role in the handling of the South China Sea in the context of the development in Rohingya and the issues related to the irregular movement of persons, Yemen issues, and the violent extremism. Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said that besides became a speaker, Minister Retno was at the Oslo Forum also to improve the bilateral relations between Indonesia and Norway in various fields, such as in South-South cooperation for the developing countries. The Oslo Forum 2015, with the theme Peacemaking in the New World Disorder, was officially opened by the Minister of Foreign Affairs of Norway and the President of Colombia, and attended by the Prime Minister of Serbia, Vice President of Iran, Foreign Minister of Jordan, and some academics from other regions. On Friday, June 19, 2015, Indonesian President Joko Widodo held a meeting with a number of cabinet ministers and related officials in his office in Jakarta to plan a national strategy to eradicate and prevent corruption. He said while opening the meeting that the head issued presidential instruction or IMPRES number 7/2015 on eradication and prevention of corruption. He emphasized in the framework of realizing a clean and corruption-free government will be discussed a national strategy to eradicate and prevent corruption. President Joko Widodo reiterated that Indonesia wished to step up effort to prevent and completely do away with the crime to achieve its growth target. That was Week in Review.
Voice of Indonesia, keeping dignity alive.
Listener, welcome to News in Brief. President Joko Widodo plans to issue a policy to boost the price of tin, rubber, and palm oil that has so far dropped very steeply. President Jokowi said after conducting a tarawih prayers at Suprapto Suparno Mosque after breaking fast in Pangkal Pinang on Saturday evening, June 20th, he will see the real condition in the field to find what kind of policy is needed to make the price of the commodities to rise again. Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Saifuddin hoped the Corruption Eradication Commission, KPK, could assure the freedom of KPK prisoners to carry out their worship in accordance with their religion. The House of Representatives, DPR, has welcomed government's plan to improve Indonesia's trading access by sea. Minister of Environment and Forestry, Siti Nurbaya, hoped that the Eco Drive campaign could be improved. She considered this campaign has many positive effects both for society and for the environment. In addition to paying taxes, the country's state-owned companies are expected to pay more dividends to the government in the coming years. Listener, that was News in Brief.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Listeners, you are still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin Program. For feedback about the program, you can send us email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. You can also send a letter to PO Box 1157, Central Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Listener, coming up next, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesia's tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will invite you to enjoy typical West Sumatran iftar, which can be found not only in the province, but also in Jakarta, to be exact in Kramat area, Central Jakarta. So stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. In In Indonesia, with predominantly Muslim population, the month of Ramadan in the Islamic lunar calendar is very special. Although people are obliged to fast every day from dawn to sunset for one whole month, it is still considered as a blessed month. Aside from religious reasons, vendors who peddle iftar menu will find a very lucrative business during the fasting month, another name for Ramadan. For people usually look for something special for breaking the fast or iftar at the end of the day. If you happen to be in Jakarta and want to break the fast with special culinary originating from West Sumatra, you don't have to go all the way to West Sumatra province. Just go to Kramat area in Senen, Central Jakarta. Here you will find rows of Padang food restaurants offering the world's famous rendang and other food from West Sumatra. There are also stalls of nasi kapau or kapau rice and other iftar menu like lamang tapai or bubur kampiun, and the prices are definitely affordable. Since 1950, Kramat Street has already been known as a place for ngabuburit, or to kill time before breaking the fast, while looking for various traditional West Sumatra dishes and dessert for iftar. Its location is on Jalan Kramat Raya, Central Jakarta. Not only the prices of food here are very cheap, the location, which is in Central Jakarta, makes this place easily accessible from any corner of the capital city using either private vehicles or public transportation. West Sumatra's cuisine is known to be very spicy and hot, yet very delicious because mostly are cooked in thick coconut milk or juice. If you don't want to eat rice for iftar or fast breaking and prefer something sweet and soft, you can try bubur kampiun. It is a typical West Sumatra porridge, since bubur means porridge, consisting of 5 different types of other porridges, namely kolak pisang or banana compote, bubur sumsum or gruel, ketan srikaya, which is sticky rice combined with a mixture of cooked coconut juice and brown sugar, and bubur candil, which is made from tapioca and brown sugar with coconut juice sauce. One portion of bubur or porridge kampiun is packed at 15,000 rupiah, which is around $1. Kampiun, by the way, literally translated means champion. There is another popular typical West Sumatra culinary. It is called lemang, which is glutinous rice mixed with coconut juice or milk and cooked in a bamboo tube on an open fire. Lemang is usually served with tapai ketan hitam or fermented black glutinous rice. Lemang is not only for iftar or fast breaking. You can also eat it at meals and usually with ever famous spicy beef stew called rendang. One bar of lemang coupled with tape is only 25,000 rupiah or more or less $2. Kramat lemang sold here is reportedly different from lemang elsewhere, for it uses genuine ingredients and spices of West Sumatra. The process of fast breaking or iftar is usually started with takjil, which mostly is something sweet. After breaking with typical takjil of West Sumatra like bubur kampiun or lamang tapai, it is followed by the real meal. In Kramat Ramadan Market, it is advisable to try a great meal typical of West Sumatra called nasi kapau, which is steamed rice with a variety of side dishes such as hot green duck, snapper curry, and a kind of goulash called gajebo. So, if you happen to be fasting and visit Jakarta in the month of Ramadan, you can try the typical cuisine of West Sumatra in Kramat Market, Senen Raya. In fact, on a normal day, traders also keep selling as usual, just not as many visitors like during the month of Ramadan, especially near the time of breaking the fast. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today. Until tomorrow then, with another interesting topic.
Mr. Lenny.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be discussing the Agriculture Day, which falls on June 21st, and a series of activities related to this celebration. So stay tuned. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program through www.voi.co.id. June 21st is the day of agriculture activities in Indonesia and is always celebrated by the entire farming community, namely the farmers, ranchers, employees, and entrepreneurs engaged in the agricultural sector. The date was chosen based on astronomical consideration that the sun, as the biggest life energy for plants, animals, and humans, is at the 23.50 north latitude, at which time a change of climate happens, which is in tune with the changes in agricultural activities business. As an agricultural country, the celebration was celebrated by the people of Indonesia in various regions with different agricultural activities such as exhibition, agriculture-related seminars, and many others. For 2015, the Ministry of Agriculture, through the Corps of Civil Service of the Republic of Indonesia, or KORPRI, in cooperation with the Indonesian Red Cross, organized a blood donation action some time ago. This activity is part of the Agricultural Activities Day on June 21st and were held simultaneously by agriculture acting units throughout Indonesia. The program called One Ton of Blood Agriculture Cares was held simultaneously during the 138th series of activities of agricultural quarantine month of service. KORPRI Secretary Mujiadi said the activity is expected to be a grand social action of agriculture people to provide a real contribution to humanity. The activities of agriculture celebration in West Java province was attended by 2,000 people composed of officials of the Ministry of Agriculture, farmers and agricultural extension people from 27 districts, city in West Java. The activities, which took place from June the 9th to 12th, were filled with an exhibition of agriculture products and beverages exhibition of local raw materials which become potential in districts or cities throughout West Java. Head of Agriculture, Forestry and Plantation of Bandung Regency, Tista Umaran, said, "Top event of the activities of Agriculture Days is preparing 20,374 serving of Lotek to break Buri records." HKB celebration was also enlivened by Agro Expo and Jamboree varieties expected to be a farm and learning tour for students in the future. Further, Mortis Naset varieties in agro garden not only come from Indonesia, especially Bandung, but also there are plants of Japanese vegetables such as kabocha and turnips of South Korea. Meanwhile, West Java Governor Ahmad Heriawan or Aher said, "The activity at provincial level was held in Bandung Regency and it was a moment to evaluate the problems often faced by farmers. According to the governor, it is a big day for Indonesian farmers to express gratitude for all that has been achieved." He said, "His staff will continue to solidify the government's concern in the agricultural sector. By doing so," he said, "food production will have increased. To achieve this, it needs to be done with a clear and measurable steps, thus realizing the ideals in the agricultural sector, not only mere wishful thinking, because since the beginning, farmers are the heroes of the national food." That was Miss Eleni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Riaz Ahmad Khan in Pakistan. He was listening to our broadcast on May 24, 2015. In his email, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan said that he really enjoyed our English program. Hello, Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan. How are you? Thank you very much because you have sent your reception report of our broadcast very detailed, segment by segment. And you also send the reception report daily. And we hope someday you can visit Indonesia and witness by yourself how beautiful our country is. Mr. Riaz Ahmad Khan, we are looking forward to receiving your next letter or email. Listener, June 22nd, Jakarta, Indonesia's capital city, will celebrate its 488th anniversary, and for this occasion will play some songs from Batavia or Betawi or Jakarta, presented by legendary singers of Jakarta, Lili Suryani and Binyamin Sueb. First, we'll introduce you to Lili Suryani. Lili Suryani was an Indonesian singer, known especially for her 1965 album entitled Gang Kelinci and the song of the same name. Now we'll introduce you to Binyamin Sueb. Binyamin was born in Kemayoran, Batavia, or Old Jakarta, or Jakarta today, on March the 5th, 1939. His parents were Sueb and Aisyah. His father's real name was Sukirman, but changed to Sueb since he lived in Batavia. At the age of 2, Benjamin's father died. Later on, he was permitted to be a street performer. In 1946, he studied at Bendungan Jago Elementary School. When he was in the 5th or 6th grade, he moved to Santo Yusuf Elementary School in Bandung, West Java. After graduating, he continued his studies at Taman Madya Cikini Junior High School and then Taman Siswa Senior High School in Kemayoran, Jakarta. He later studied at the Jakarta Academy of Banking for 1 year, but did not finish. His ideal was formally to become a pilot, but his mother forbade him. Benjamin Sueb was not only a singer, but also an actor. Benjamin died of a heart attack on September 5, 1995, after playing soccer. Well, listener, that was a glimpse about two Indonesian singers, Lili Suryani and also Benjamin S, or Benjamin Sueb. And before we play another song, we will reply an email from Dieter Leopold from Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language on May 10, 2015 through our website at 1800 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Dieter Leopold. Thank you very much for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We are really glad because you are one of our regular listeners, and we really appreciate because you have tried to answer our wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Please send your answer as soon as possible. Who knows, you will become one of the lucky winners and have a chance to visit Indonesia. And please don't forget to invite your family, relatives, and friends to participate in our wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Grab the main prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. Listener, now we continue to reply an email from Julian Velasquez Cruz in Cuba. Mr. Julian sent his email to our radio on May the 3rd, 2015. In his email, Mr. Julian said that he was listening to Voice of Indonesia broadcast in Spanish language. He is a journalist and also director of radio programs in Cuba and always a lover of international issues. Hello, Mr. Julian Velasquez Cruz. Thank you very much for your compliment on our radio. We hope you are tuning our radio not only through shortwave but also through our website www.voi.co.id. We are really sorry because for the past few months, we are not able to broadcast through our frequency due to a technical problem. But we try to fix it, and hopefully, in a short time, we'll be able to broadcast through our frequency again. Thank you. Well, listen, unfortunately, we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and also like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and also Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia. And we are organizing Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. We have aired the questions, and you can join the quiz by answering the questions. Who knows, you are one of the lucky winners to win the grand prize, namely visiting Indonesia for free. For further information, you can visit www.voi.co.id. You don't have to worry if you don't have passports. Just send your answers. We'll provide additional prizes or extra prizes for those who cannot win the first prize. Don't forget to send your entry. The quiz will end on August 10, 2015. The first prize winners will be invited to Indonesia in September 2015. So hurry up before the quiz ends. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, listener's mailbag, we will play another song from Betawi or Jakarta entitled Si Pitung Benteng Betawi or Pitung, a Batavian Fortress. For your information, Pitung is a legendary hero from Jakarta, and he is described as a humble person, a good Muslim, a hero of Betawi people, and an upholder of justice. According to Indonesian author and screenwriter Lukman Karmani, who wrote about Pitung in the 1960s, Pitung is the bandit who was an Indonesian Robin Hood stealing from the rich to give to the poor. Well, listener, here is Si Pitung Benteng Betawi. I'm Ani Hasana. Thank you for listening, and we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
Lutung ke sarung matanya celong, nih kenalin Bang Pitung dari Rawe Blong. Pitung jagoan rawe belong, gak takut bunyi pelor melayang. Kompeni hidungnya pade bolong, ditempeleng palenya jadi peang. Kalau Pitung lagi uring-uringan, jangan ngomong sembarangan. Gak pake golok, gak pake tangan, ditiup lo nyelip di pendaringan. Tuan tane atinya penasaran, kang pukulnya dihajar abis-abisan. Hah, lo cobain nih pukulan beksi ya? Yeah, mampus lo. Jangan coba-coba lawan si Pitung, kalau mare gak kebalang tanggung. Bang Pitung kerjanya sering nulung, biar diancem mau digantung. Bang Pitung sering ngebeler rakyat dari tekanan kaum lintir darat. Biar tugas diancem berat, kompeni jita kepalanya rengat. Ayo lawan gue, abis cempeler lo, abis cempeler lo, gak nantinya gue mundur. Tuan tane, atinya penasaran, kang pukulnya.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.